Hello, and thank you for joining us here on The Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my trusty sidekick, my partner in crime. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Dalala.
Phil, good to be with you this afternoon. It's Raiders week. Need a win.
This week has sort of taken a weird turn, I think, in terms of just talking about this matchup. You know, like when we have our Neutral Zone meeting every week.
Which one?
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one. We were like, okay, what are we going to break down? The Broncos are wearing their blue uniforms. Mike Shanahan's going into the Ring of Fame. Steve Atwater's getting his Hall of Fame ring.
Right.
There's so many things to talk about. And then Monday night, while we were live at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse in Littleton off of Santa Fe, trying to make that a farm home.
Yep.
We're there every Monday from 6 to 7. But while we were on the air there, some news broke.
That's right. Well, some incriminating, really kind of some disgusting emails came out that John Gruden had sent to former Washington football team president Bruce Allen. And Phil, right as we were getting off the air, John Gruden resigned.
Yeah.
That kind of changed everything about this matchup, because no longer is it just about Derek Carr and Darren Waller and Max Crosby and, you know, who else? Jonathan Abram. I mean, now this is the whole story, and everyone's going to be watching this weekend to see how do the Raiders respond after their head coach really resigns in disgrace and very suddenly.
Yeah. I mean, this has got to be, if you're just talking from a football perspective, a very difficult week to just try and focus on getting ready for the Broncos, like if you're the Raiders. I mean, hard to block out everything that's happened. We saw Mike Mayock, the Raiders general manager, meet the press on Wednesday. Carl Nassib took the day off, needed a personal day. Mayock said that they had personally met three separate times just to discuss everything that happened with John Gruden. And that's not about football. And Wednesday is a really heavy football day. So we'll get into this a lot more later on in the show, just the effects of John Gruden no longer being their head coach and what that might mean for the Broncos trying to get ready to face the Raiders.
That's right. And we'll talk about the football part of this as we go on. But I do think it's important to say right off the top that pretty much everyone in the NFL community has spoken out against the language John Gruden used, the values that he was seemingly talking about in these emails. Vic Fangio went out to the press to his press conference today and said, "This organization doesn't stand for that. I don't stand for that. There's no place for this language in the world, and certainly in the NFL."
Of course.
And so, nice to see Vic Fangio come out so strongly against it, because you know you could see how a coach here or there could say, "It's not my place to comment on that," or, you know, "That we're going to let the Raiders deal with that." And I really respected Vic Fangio coming out and saying, "Hey, that's not right at all."
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people, when they get up to the podium, they feel more comfortable just talking about football. But in this situation, to me, it's important to speak out against it. I mean, those emails were disgusting, like we mentioned, and good for Vic Fangio to just come out and say that right off the bat. And there, in my opinion, there's like nowhere else to really go with it. You know, like that's just, it's just black and white to me. Like, that's disgusting. No place in any sort of workplace environment, NFL or otherwise. And, you know, I guess we'll have to see how this plays out, because this was just the Gruden part of this investigation. You know, as we found out, there's a lot more to this. Heard some reports about Adam Schefter today, and, you know, I feel like more news is going to come from these emails.
Yeah, possibly. We should clarify for people who haven't seen it. No reports about Adam Schefter saying anything.
No. Like, sorry, that was a little bit.
Adam Schefter sending a story to
Bruce Allen. Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Very different.
Exactly.
It sounds like there's hundreds of thousands of these emails.
It's
just the tip of the iceberg. But, before we get to the football, I think it's just important to say, to kind of speak out against that, because, like you said, Phil, no place for that.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with how far the NFL, or how much they've said that it's really focusing on making an inclusive workplace environment, and you know, the strides that the league has made, especially over the last year, to have something like this come out now, I mean, it's just there's zero tolerance, you know, essentially. So back to the football. Oh, did you want to?
No. I was going to say we are going to get to football.
Yeah.
It just, we wanted to start by talking about that, because it is important.
I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue that probably the single biggest story in the NFL this week is this.
Yes.
So I think that it's important for us to touch on that. Getting back to the football part of it, though, later on in the show we'll talk about you know, two wide receivers who came from Alabama came out in the draft last year, Henry Ruggs III and Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, Ruggs went ahead of Jerry Jeudy. We'll revisit that. Did the Raiders make the right choice or the wrong choice? You know, essentially, I guess, is what we'll get into, just examining those two. And then, Eric, we'll talk about this Broncos team really at a crossroads in the season right now. Still sitting okay at 3-2, above 500, but the feeling around town is not positive.
No, and this feels like a must-win game. You've got to get to 4-2, stay above that 500 mark. You're still right in the mix. We'll talk about that, but you've got to get back on track. If your playoff teams typically do not lose three games in a row, and you're going on a short week to Cleveland, this feels like one you've got to get.
It's a big game. You know, in Denver, whenever the Broncos lose, it's doom and gloom. When they lose two in a row, it's really the sky is dark.
Yeah.
So never mind three in a row. Let's not talk about it. So we'll talk about whether or not we're more concerned about the Broncos offense or the Broncos defense at this point. You know, the first 3 weeks, everything was going fine on both sides. Last 2 weeks, a little bit of a different story. What side are we more concerned about? We'll address that. Plus some bold predictions, Eric, and then maybe a YouTube comment to get to.
Well, could be nice.
It's a big show. If you'd like to be a part of the Neutral Zone yourself, you can leave a voicemail, 707-NEUTRAL. You just pick up the phone, dial 707-NEUTRAL. It'll go straight to a voicemail, and you could just say whatever is on your mind.
And if it's appropriate, we might even play it.
Yeah, Ben Swanson is the filter on that.
Yeah.
And
it's not just
tough to get in.
He has to like what you say, too.
Yeah, not
sometimes just we go into the, you know, we hack into his computer because he doesn't let us have access, but
hundreds of voicemails.
Hundreds
just
that
there.
Just, you know, I mean, yeah. Jeff Flanagan's left like 15 in a row that Ben Swanson.
We have not heard from Jeff Flanagan.
No.
It would be nice. A little sad. I kind of feel a little sad.
Hope he's okay.
That. Yeah. Eric, if you don't want to leave your voice, maybe you're shy or maybe you don't want to yell on the phone.
Yeah.
You could do it a different way.
Yeah, you could write a letter, send it to 1365. No, I'm just kidding. You can write an email, leave it at neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. We read those too.
We read a lot of those. And that's also the place that if you want a Neutral Zone sticker, that's where you email in there. And Eric, we sent out, what do you think that was?
Thousands?
I'm not sure if it's that high, but we've sent out a lot of stickers. It was a little overwhelming. A
lot of stickers.
A lot of letters.
Handwritten note with each one.
Yeah. And you know what was cool, and at least surprising to me, we've got people writing from Russia, Peru, I think there was one.
Australia.
Really cool to see, you know, that...
Texas.
NZ Nation. Yeah, Texas is sort of its own country, yeah. Right? So, and then obviously all across America. So that was pretty cool to me. I don't know.
The America?
Canada?
Is that what you said?
All across America.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say the America.
We'll have to go back and check the tape.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
So, neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. You could also hit us up on Twitter directly at Eric Dalala with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH. Non-traditional spellings.
Right.
Eric, oh, YouTube comments too.
Comments. Want to leave them right there? We'll read them. Smash that subscribe button while you're at it.
How do you?
I think there's just a button and then you smash it.
Smash it, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty
simple. A lot of broken computers out there.
Yeah, not too hard.
Just smash it a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can follow us every episode. You could just be
We're always there with you.
Yeah. And we're live on Mondays from 6 to 7 Mountain Time. From Breckenridge Brewery's
farm home
in Littleton off of Santa Fe. If you live in the Denver metro area, come out, a brew, say hello. If not, watch on YouTube, and then in that show, it's sort of a Q&A type of show.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun.
It is.
This show, we just talk about what we want to talk about.
Yes. So and buckle up.
Buckle up. Let's get into our first topic here, Eric. The effect of John Gruden resigning at the beginning of this week. We touched on the societal impact of his emails. Terrible. disgusting. But from a football perspective here, Eric, how in the heck are the Raiders supposed to gather themselves and get ready to face the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things to look at from a football perspective. One is the kind of the nitty-gritty, the calling plays. Greg Olsen is their offensive coordinator. Not the tight end, Greg Olsen.
Not
different Greg Olsen.
Although the tight end, he could do broadcasting and play.
Yeah.
Maybe he could just call plays,
yeah,
too.
That's true.
Different guy, though.
Different guy. We assume he's going to call plays. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet, but it would seemingly make sense. Vic Fangio doesn't expect the offense to really change that much, just maybe kind of a wrinkle here and there. But if you think about it, the Raiders aren't going to want to change things up too drastically because that impacts them this week, too. And it's not like they've had a week to figure this out. It happened Monday night. I don't know if the players – don't think the players were in the building yesterday, so you're in the middle of your work week. So I don't think from an X's and O's perspective it changes things very much. I think where the issue is, Phil, is where's the focus from the team? Just because, you know, if you're in an NFL building, guys are locked in, you're going to meetings, you're going out to practice, you're going to walk through, you've got to make sure that you've got everything figured out. And when you add – just kind of a knuckleball, or you throw a wrench into the facility that's this big, you just wonder if it's too big of a distraction to overcome.
I will say the one thing that was surprising to me about like working for an NFL team is how important routine is for these guys. The schedule is almost the same week after week after week. They go to this meeting, to walk through, to this meeting, to lunch, to practice, and it's the same. And I think that because the grind of the NFL is the way that it is, you really rely on that routine. And so when something shakes it up, the normalcy goes away and it's difficult to play under those circumstances when it comes to game time. That's why I like those Thursday night games. The games are like a little bit weird just because both teams are adjusting their routines so much. And so I do think that that aspect of it is going to be very difficult. And then just from the X's and O's standpoint, Eric, I mean, one of the reasons why the Raiders went out and paid John Gruden so much money was because of his sort of offensive expertise, you know, and in the NFL, so much is about adjustments in game. You know, that's why like a guy like Mike Shanahan, you know, was so good, is because in the course of the game, he was changing things up and picking up on tendencies and then attacking that. I think that area is going to be significantly hurt for the Raiders just because, you know, John Gruden is calling all the offensive plays there. Now all of a sudden he's gone, and just the way that they want to attack might be the same, but those adjustments and the right play call in the right moment, that's out the window.
Yeah, that's true. And we know how close of a relationship he has with Derek Carr. You know, they've obviously built a rapport here over the last, what, this was his fourth year, I believe,
I
as the
so,
head
yeah.
coach. So somebody different in the headset for Derek Carr, someone different talking to him on the sideline. You know, I don't know if their offensive coordinator was in the booth or not, but that's obviously going to be, if you don't have
different.
A guy that you can go talk to, so that will be different. I just think that the margin of victory in the NFL, like what decides who wins and who loses, is so small that you don't want anything kind of like going against you. Like we talked a little bit about is the hotel thing a big deal last week for the
yeah,
Broncos?
Exactly.
That's
little
a very
thing.
Very small thing, but when you talk about the Broncos start slow in the first half, you know, maybe it does make a difference.
You're referring to the fact that the Broncos could not check into their hotel in Pittsburgh until like about 8 o'clock,
8 o'clock
Eastern time on Saturday night because of weddings.
Yeah,
and so because they got there late, maybe that affected the way that right. they came out and started the game. So little things like that could play a factor.
And there's this something else that I'm interested in, because there's kind of a notion whenever a coach gets fired, or you haven't, you know, maybe a coach is sick and has to miss a week or whatever, that a team kind of rallies and is like, we're going to win it for this guy. I wonder how much, like 2016, for example, Gary Kubiak, the morning of the finale against the Raiders, comes out, he's not going to coach the next year. The Broncos had no reason to win that game at all. They were already eliminated from the playoffs. I think the Raiders needed to win to secure playoff seeding, and the Broncos went out and beat them. And I think a large part of that was, hey, let's win it for Kubiak. I'm interested, you know, is there that same sense in the Raiders locker room of, hey, like there's probably a lot of guys who are not like, let's win one for Gruden or like
let's
win one. They're going to say we got to band together and win anyway and like keep the season going. But I just don't.
Like, let's play for each other.
Yeah.
Maybe that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, because so I would say one thing we normally see is, like, say when the Broncos, when they fired Josh McDaniels and then Eric Studisville becomes the interim head coach that ran out the season, their level of play boosted up just a little bit.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel quite like that sort of a situation.
No, because the Raiders were winning. I mean, they're 3-2 and they lost the last two, but – you know, from what we heard, they believed in John Gruden's system. You know, they had another fast start, which they've had the past few years. And so it's not like – this is not a refresh. Sometimes when you get an interim head coach, you're like, things weren't going well. We need a boost.
Yeah.
You know, you fire a coordinator. Sometimes the production goes up. This is not that, I don't think.
And you just wonder how much the Raiders players even knew about any of this sort of stuff. I mean, they're probably caught off guard just like the rest of us. You know, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a lot of the reaction when we first heard the news. And, yeah, they probably dealt with a little bit of it last week as the, you know, this information was starting to come out. Like, they just sort of brushed that aside last week. They obviously lost their game last week. But
yeah, I mean, and who – Mike Mayock
could have
been
a factor.
Mike Mayock said he doesn't think any of this impacted the loss last week. But we saw the Bears, who are a decent football team. I mean, Justin Fields making his – second career start, they went into Las Vegas and beat them pretty handily.
Yeah.
You know, it was not necessarily a close game.
No.
I think it was 14-3 for most of the game. The Raiders offense had not a lot of success.
Yeah.
And so, and to me, that loss is worse than Denver's loss because it's at home.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one other way I kind of framed this thought was like the week that Drew Lock had to come in and play 2 weeks ago against the Ravens, he was like, I was just sort of off my game a little bit just because I'm not used to not getting any reps during the week. And so, like, just not taking a little bit of reps affected how he played on Sunday. Or last week, Teddy Bridgewater's in the concussion protocol. He's not going through his normal game week routine. He said on Wednesday, today as we're recording this, he said earlier today that it was a little bit different, and now I can just really hone in on the game. So, like, even a small tweak kind of makes a big difference, at least, you know, when you go back and look at it. I just think that this is going to be tough for the Raiders to overcome it. And from the Broncos' perspective, you know, they've got to get ready for a little bit of an unknown here, too.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to anticipate a desperate team, a team that might come out emotional at the beginning of the game. You know, like, maybe the Raiders might punch in the mouth a little bit to start the game. Maybe they're fired up. They're like, hey, forget all this. We're going to come play football. We're going to show people we're still a good team. So I think the Broncos have to be ready to weather that storm. But yeah, in terms of the week, Phil, they might have to spend part of their practice on Wednesday just getting comfortable with Derek Carr and the plays from somebody else. So
yeah,
that's a do not envy their position, but we'll talk about it more later in terms of the critical level of this game. But for everything the Raiders have going against them, the Broncos cannot lose to a team that has just fired their head coach.
You know, and their special teams coordinator is now their interim head coach.
Yep.
But, yeah, so much change, so much stuff going on over there. You know, like, from the Broncos' perspective, you got to be able to take advantage, I guess, sort of the situation in Las Vegas.
You talk about good teams winning games that they're supposed to win, and the Broncos did that the first three games of the year. I don't necessarily view Baltimore as a game you're supposed to win. It should have been a game you were close in, which didn't happen. And then Pittsburgh, you know, a 1-3 team, you're on the road. I know you were favored. To me, that's one of those kind of, again, a toss-up game. You should win this game at home, particularly now with what the Raiders are going through. And so I think we're going to learn about this Broncos team. Can you rebound? Can you take care of business against a team that you should beat given the circumstances?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I just can imagine, like, if something, you know, if a big change like that happened around here, how difficult it would be. So I imagine things in Las Vegas probably not crystal smooth. It's not smooth. What am I saying? I almost kind of wanted to say crystal clear, but that was the wrong.
Yeah, smooth sailing.
Maybe? Smooth sailing, yeah. What else is smooth? I don't know.
Peanut butter?
Not sailing, yeah. It's not smooth like peanut butter over there right now.
It's like crunchy peanut butter.
Crunchy peanut butter, which I prefer anyway.
Yeah. Crunchy, right?
I like crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that it's crunchy or chunky?
I don't know. Yeah, good question. Yeah.
Creamy?
Creamy and crunchy. No, I think you're chunky.
I think it's chunky, right?
Yeah, I think it is chunky.
If you know
yeah.
what that type of peanut butter is called,
I think it's
send us an
email. I think it's crunchy. I think you had it right.
Oh, crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want smooth?
It's not really chunky. You know, I don't think that
there's it's chunks chunky. Of peanuts.
Yeah, but that makes it crunchy.
Got it.
Not chunky.
Well, because when I think crunchy, I think like
no.
Like a chip is crunchy.
Yeah.
Or like
so is a peanut. It's crunchy.
Okay. I know I'm not. I'm going to look this up. I know I'm not supposed to look at my phone during the show.
Okay. Yeah.
I think this is critical.
We don't even have a peanut butter sponsor, and we're spending a lot of time on peanut butter.
Types. But
I think the types of peanut butter, smooth is definitely one.
Yeah, smooth, I think.
And I think that crunchy is the other one. That's what I'm firmly in that camp.
Chunky.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that all the companies have it wrong.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah. What?
We should start a neutral zone peanut butter.
Now, this says crunch. Oh, there's some differing opinions on the internet.
Yeah, see?
Super chunky. Okay, we're going to have to revisit
maybe this. Here's what...
Okay, here we go. Wikipedia says crunchy or chunky.
I was going to say maybe if there is two different levels of crunchy. So, like, there's normal crunchy, and
super
then if there's...
Super chunky.
And yeah, if there's a lot of crunch, it becomes chunky.
Yeah, see, I don't view it as a crunch.
That's how I see it. I don't know.
What do you think, Rick Owens?
Yeah. Rick is not pleased by this.
No.
This topic. Let's move on to our next topic here, talking about Henry Ruggs III and Jerry Judy. Obviously, those two tied together. CeeDee Lamb is also sort of in that conversation with those first three wide receivers taken 2 years ago in the draft. CeeDee Lamb off to a heck of a start this season. But let's talk about the other two. Jerry Judy seemingly heading into a big breakout season this year, but then he gets hurt. Henry Ruggs, the start of his career, probably not what he exactly envisioned. How do you see this shaking out, revisiting the draft at this point?
Yeah, and I mean, with CeeDee Lamb, who's had the most production, I think
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, you've got Amari Cooper there.
Yeah.
You've got Zeke, even Michael Gallup. Like, they've got a really good offense.
But Gallup has been hurt.
Is he hurt?
I think he's been hurt.
Okay.
I think so.
That's why you come to us for all your Dallas Cowboys news. I think that CeeDee Lamb is in a different conversation because of that. But when you're talking about Henry Ruggs and Jerry Judy, I still think that Jerry Judy is the no-brainer at that position.
I agree.
Obviously, the Raiders, I think they took him 11th, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think
12th.
So.
And at the time, I think there was some thought, Phil, that Henry Ruggs was going to be the only receiver left for the Broncos, that CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Judy were both going to go before 15. Jerry Judy and CeeDee Lamb both there for the Broncos. Jerry Judy, I mean, he's a better route runner, clearly.
Gallup had a hip injury.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on IR.
Well, he played week one, right?
That's when I think he hurt himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice, playing really well that way.
He was dealing with a calf injury that he suffered, and then I think he had a bit of a hip.
Little bit of a hip. But I think from a route running perspective, from a big play ability, Jerry has that part of his game too. Ruggs, to me, and this is kind of a, you know, seeing highlights and watching him the last couple of years, he's kind of a boom or bust type player. You know, they're going to hit him on some of these deep throws, and you want to prevent those, obviously, especially with what the Ravens of Steelers have done to you the last few weeks. But consistency, getting open on third down, and we talk about how much the Broncos have struggled on third down. I think they've missed a guy like Judy who can take one or two steps and get open. To me, it's not even I'm not even hesitating here. It's just clearly Jerry Judy in my mind.
That's what I sort of think too, and I think that the Broncos have really been missing Jerry Judy, especially these last 2 weeks. You know, down there by the goal line, somebody who's able to get off the line and have that shiftiness to get open quickly, I think that would have made that last sequence there a little bit different, having a guy like Jerry Judy. And I think that when opposing defenses get ready for the Broncos and Judy's in the lineup, he's a major concern. You know, and with Henry Ruggs, I sort of agree with you that he is this boom or bust. You know, if you hit on the big play, which has been a problem for this Broncos defense. So that is definitely something that they need to be worried about. But if they hit him on the deep play, then he ends up having a big day. You know, I think he has one 100-yard plus game this year. I think they did that against the Steelers. So, yep. But other than that, he's not a consistent factor in some of these games. So I think that Judy, if he were playing, he would be more of that consistent week-to-week problem. You know, he would be that guy who's 9-10 catches every game, 100 yards more consistently. The problem, though, and you've got to weigh this into it, is the injuries.
Well, I mean, I think Ruggs missed some time last year, I believe. Yep. And this is not a – I mean, Jerry sprained his ankle.
It's, yeah.
And I based on his
was
production –
fine last year.
Yeah, I would not worried about Jerry from an injury perspective at all. I think there's still a chance that he comes back and has a really big season. You know, he's probably put himself too far behind the pace of everybody else to make a Pro Bowl or something like that. But certainly could be one of those guys that you're like, well, he had one of the best second halves to a season of anybody. And so I just think that he does more, you know, in terms of he can be that speed guy. He can get open on these routes. He can play outside. He can play in the slot. Like, he just does a little bit more, and think he is the Broncos' number one weapon when he's healthy. I think we saw that clearly in week one. Teddy went to him again and again, big third down catches. I'm not even sure Ruggs is the second or third option on the Raiders. I mean, certainly Darren Waller is number one, and then Hunter Renfrow is a really good player in the slot. And then if you want to talk about Josh Jacobs, just in terms of if you mix the run game in, I mean, Ruggs right now is, in my mind at least, kind of a complimentary player, whereas Jerry Jeudy is that guy when he's healthy. Yeah.
And I think that when the Raiders took Ruggs as the first wide receiver in that draft, they were envisioning a player like Tyreek Hill, who is just a consistent speed problem. And I think that he hasn't really developed into that just yet.
No, and I think that you see what the Broncos did in selecting KJ Hamler, and obviously KJ
same idea
has had some injury issues, but
he's sort of like the Ruggs for the Broncos.
Right, and you got him in the second round.
Yep.
So, to me, Judy's a more complete receiver. He's the guy that I think – the Lamb is interesting, but I think if you polled people nationwide, Jerry Jeudy would probably get the bulk of the votes between Jeudy and Ruggs.
CD obviously benefits from having Dak. I mean, Jerry benefits from having Sutton, the Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams back there.
Well, but Jerry had a really nice season last year with no Cortland Sutton and as a rookie.
Yeah. I think that if the quarterback play, we haven't really seen him with Bridgewater, but if he had somebody like Dak throwing him the ball, especially the way the Cowboys just throw the ball so much, maybe the numbers would be a little different too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was clear from the preseason, from training camp, and from week one that Jeudy is Teddy's favorite target. I mean, he goes there again and again. I think he had 6 catches week one, if I'm remembering correctly.
He was the leading wide receiver for the Broncos, and he didn't play most of that second half.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just look at it that way. Do you think if Jeudy comes back, that'll fix some of the problems here the Broncos offense is having?
Yeah, I think especially on third down. I don't know. The red zone is interesting to me just because I don't know that we've seen Jeudy excel in that area. We haven't really seen the Broncos in general excel down there. But I think on third down, last year you saw, you know, especially third and long, can you get some separation, get away from, you know, I think of
just
that play.
Make a play.
Think of that play in Carolina where he's just the defender's ankles are shattered. He's wide open.
Back and pick him up.
Yeah. You think about Atlanta, you know.
They stopped the game there to go back and pick him up?
I think so. Maybe at halftime they went and swept it up or something.
Yeah. Vacuum.
I think in Atlanta he made some big plays. Obviously against the Chargers at the end of the year, he had a bunch of drops, but he was open again and again. Hasn't had those drop issues throughout training camp or week one. So, yeah, I think especially on third down, when you need somebody that can make one move and be open and it's third and three, that to me was one of the issues. I looked at one of the first half against the Steelers. The Broncos averaged 2.4 yards on first down, and one of those was from an 8-yard gain. Mm-hmm. Went and looked at the, you know, it's second and two, third and two, two passes – you don't get a first down. I think if Jerry Judy's there in that situation,
different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that his ability to routinely get open is the difference. You know, whereas
getting open, good.
Because a lot of the, like Tim Patrick or Cortland Sutton, the way that they're getting open is just sort of be bodying a guy and, you know.
Or it takes a little longer to develop.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Or like the scheme has to sort of work where he cuts open like, you know, 10 yards down the field and he's open. That's where a lot of their catches are coming from.
When you saw Cortland on Sunday, there was one play where Teddy tried to sidearm it to him and he's like still got a guy on his back on a
kind
slant.
Kind of snuck the ball through there.
Like Jerry, early. To me, I think might make that play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not really where Cortland excels in that situation.
No, and you need guys that can do all sorts of things.
Yeah,
and right now the Broncos are missing a guy like Jerry Jeudy who can
the be precise
that quick.
Route runner.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it should be no surprise that the Broncos' offense is struggling without who I think we both consider to be its
number
best player.
Number. Yeah. So yeah, still thinking the Washington game.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Cleveland is likely. I don't think you rush him back on a short week.
I don't think so either.
Washington
would be
nice,
but probably
the earliest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
With these, I kind of think maybe you give him one more week. He's such an important part of this offense.
Don't want it to linger.
Well, yeah, you don't want him to come back too early and re-aggravate it or like he's not quite right. I would rather wait an extra week. I think you can beat Washington without Jerry Jeudy.
Ooh. Okay.
You don't think so?
Well,
you want to say ooh,
yeah. That, I think that mindset is dangerous.
Like
but
Jerry,
yeah, keep going.
Like Jerry Jeudy comes back in Dallas. Maybe you can.
Ooh,
maybe he's got a
him
big
versus
game.
CD.
Pull a big upset.
Fast forward to neutral zone that week. Yeah. Revisit
CD versus Jeudy.
Yeah, exactly.
CD Jeudy.
CD. What's a CD?
I don't know. It's like one of those iTunes things.
I think so.
Okay.
Some sort of streaming or something.
Yeah. Hulu.
I'm pretty
Comcast.
Sure. Yeah. Comcast.
Yeah.
Oh. Xfinity.
Yes.
Eric, let's head on to our next topic here, and that's this Broncos team is sort of at a crossroads right now, sitting at 3-2. Good teams don't lose three games in a row. They need to stop the bleeding. My question to you is, at this very instant.
Yeah.
Are you more concerned about the offense or the defense?
I think I'm going to say the defense. Is that interesting? Because I think the offense is struggling, but they're going to get Jerry Jeudy back. And so to me, there's help on the way. Bradley Chubb is still not going to be back for a while, it seems like. You've had I know Ronald
Darby's coming back.
Well, I know Darby's been hurt, but like you've still had a really good secondary out there. You've still had Kyle Fuller, who you expected to be really good, and Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson. I think part of the issue, and we've heard communication a lot. I don't quite know why communication has been such an issue.
Technique,
communication. So part of what worries me about the defense is that they've had the pieces in place generally, and still it hasn't been quite right. The rushing defense, you have Mike Purcell in there, and yet the rushing defense has not been very good the last 2 weeks. I know Josie Jewell got hurt, and that has an impact on it. But and I should say, too, this is relative to expectations because the Broncos still have like a top 10 defense for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
But it doesn't look right now like they're a top 2 or 3 defense, even if they're still up there statistically because of the first 3 weeks. So to me, the offense seems like it can get to league average here when they get Jerry Jeudy back. I'm not sure if the defense is going to get up all the way to the top.
Yeah, I agree with you because coming into the season, I thought, okay, this Broncos defense is going to be one of the top 3 units in the NFL. They've certainly shown that they're capable of that, but the last 2 weeks, I don't know what the heck's going on, Eric. I mean, they're getting beat deep. Whenever you get beat deep, to me, that really changes the flow of a game. Because then as a defender, that's just – lives in the back of your mind. You know, we can't do that again. We can't get
how much rent
like that. Free.
Rent free?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's free in there.
Rent fro.
I hope not.
No.
I think that to me is just concerning. Like I was not expecting those types of things to happen. And like last week I thought, okay, they're going to definitely get some turnovers on Big Ben. Those are going to be big changes. It just never, other than the strip sack, it never really happened. I mean, Alexander Johnson had a couple of drops there, but I just haven't seen that same, since the shutout, I haven't seen that dominant performance from them. And a lot of the talk obviously is about the offense and how the running game, they seem to run the ball on first down a lot last week.
Yeah.
sometimes if you can't get that on that first down, then second down, you don't know what to do, and boom, it's third and long.
Yeah.
But I'm more concerned about the defense at this point. And that could all be alleviated if Ronald Darby comes out there and dominates. I know on Monday night I said
hedge.
I think that they should still play Darby, Callahan, and Fuller.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm starting to come around to your side.
Yeah, and we don't know how Darby's going to factor in yet. You know, is he going to replace Sertan? Is he going to replace Fuller? He was listed as Fuller's backup on the depth chart that the team released, which to me suggests that Sertan is going to play. That's what that suggests to me, and that if Darby's going to play, he's going to take Fuller's spot. But we don't really know yet what that's going to look like. But if you think about it, the deep balls that they've allowed, there's been one against Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson. The other ones have all been against Kyle Fuller, against the Giants, against the Jaguars.
What was the one play where against the Giants that Sertan sort of took the wrong angle?
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a deep play. That was like intermediate route with a missed tackle.
Yeah.
It's different than like
different
a
than
shot.
Just one-on-one getting beat to the field. Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe if they do play Darby more, maybe that solves things.
The fan response was overwhelming.
So you've been swayed.
It kind of made me think, okay, I took the
wrong. Maybe they should be in this chair.
Yeah. They could. Well, we should have a guest, like a contest or something like that.
Yeah. That's how you got this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You just never left.
Mailed in a lot. Then
you mail it in all the time.
I got a security card and I'm just staying here.
I will say that for as bad as the last 2 weeks have been, and especially against the Steelers, it's just a tough loss because you're getting blown out. You feel like nothing's going right. Then your comeback falls short. You're still 3-2 with a win this weekend. You're at 4-2. And I think this is just the reality. I think the Broncos are going to be at a stretch here where you might win one, you might lose one. You just have to stay above 500 and at the end of the year see if you can get those couple of wins that put you in the playoffs, because there's not many teams, Phil, based on the way some of these AFC teams have started. You've kind of got like the Bengals, the Raiders, the Broncos, maybe the Steelers if they get it together, kind of all fighting for that last playoff spot. So
Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs will end up higher, but currently, you're right, they're down there. So
I like to live in the now.
I understand some of the disappointment, but the reaction is almost more negative than when the Broncos were 0-4 a couple years ago.
That's what I was going to say. Like, just a week after a loss is very doomy and gloomy.
Well, I think the expectations might be higher.
Doomy and gloomy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said that right?
Uh-huh.
But you win one game, and then everything just sort of suddenly feels better.
Well, and I think we've talked about, I've thought for a long time this Browns game is one of the toughest ones on the schedule because they're a good team. They just put up almost 50 points in L.A. You got to go there on a short week. But if you can beat a Raiders team that is, you know, dealing with all sorts of distractions, and the Browns are really beat up. I think they had like 10, 11 guys who didn't practice on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You could potentially win two games in 4 days, and now all of a sudden
you're like,
wow, we're 5-2, and we just beat one of the best teams in the league on the road and took care of business at home. So I'm not saying both of those will happen, but
if they did,
yeah. I am saying
everything would change.
I will say this week to me feels like a must win.
Yes.
Because you can't,
I think that
can't fall to 3-3.
You can't lose three games in a row. You just can't do it.
To your rivals, especially a team that is going through what they're going through, the vibes would not be good.
Do you think that Mike Shanahan, obviously has his he increased the level of the rivalry? He's going to be in the stadium, Eric. Do you think he could just call
like a couple? Guest play caller?
Yeah, exactly. Like just a couple.
Say beer pong? Can I say that?
I think so.
When you play that and someone comes up and they're like, celeb shot?
Celeb play call.
Yeah.
Just a couple. That's all I'm saying. Maybe just
he's
a couple.
Just like, he's going to be wide open. Wide open.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Rod Smith. Super Bowl 33.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think McCaffrey, too. Didn't he say the exact same thing on that play?
On which one for the McCaffrey? Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Congratulations to Ed McCaffrey, Colorado Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well deserved. It's about time.
Friend of the show, Ed McCaffrey.
Yes. Congratulations to Ed. Eric, should we move on to bold predictions?
I think so. I've just got to think of one.
Okay, Eric. It's time for bold predictions.
Dun, dun, dun.
Broncos predictions. Versus Raiders. They played the Raiders song out of practice.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
No, because I was like, do they know that they're playing at home?
I think they're just trying to like get in the mood. Raiders might Autumn say. Wind, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a pirate.
That's some, you know, you've settled in on like a brisk fall afternoon, fall evening in
Colorado.
It's
been chilly.
It's
been a little chilly.
I turned the fireplace on yesterday for the first
time.
You
did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Get a little cozy.
You check back?
Yeah. You know, I like to drink hot cocoa up in the press box.
I know you do.
Play that song. You just feel like
football.
Yeah. Feels like football.
Wow. That must have been a nice little environment you had going on.
Yeah, just, well, I mean, the fireplace. I mean, the fireplace in the office, of course.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't leave here.
Yeah. So by fireplace, you lit some papers on fire.
Yeah. I got my little trash can fire going. That feels like the Oakland Raiders.
Yes. Did you eat a rat?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I still haven't been to the Las Vegas stadium. I'm used to Oakland where there's dead rats in the soda machine and leaking water.
You can watch Raiders highlights on the side of the stadium from the freeway.
I saw someone said the last thing you'll see before your car accident is Derek Carr throwing a pick.
I don't think they'll put picks on that.
It's a tremendous joke. Tremendous. No, yeah. I mean, it does seem like a little bit of a traffic hazard.
Yeah. But maybe if you're just sitting in traffic and it's just bumper to bumper.
That's true.
It might be nice.
Yeah. We'll get there. Later.
We'll get there at some point.
I think December 26th is that
day
game.
After Christmas.
Yeah, that's also I think a must win. But
maybe I'll have the fireplace going then too, huh?
Could be.
Old Saint Nick.
Is it? Is it cold there ever?
Not in Las Vegas. No. Yeah. Our good friend of the show, Eddie Pascal, tweeted the other day. He said, "Oh, it's like there's a little chill in there or something like that." And I was like, "What? It got down to 85?"
Yeah.
You had to put sleeves on your T-shirt.
But they go up to training camp at Napa.
And it gets chilly up there.
That would be really nice.
That's what helps the grapes, you know?
Yeah, the
chill.
Hot
days, cold nights.
Yeah.
That helps build the sugar concentration in the grapes. You just didn't think you were going to get that. Peanut butter, fireplaces, and grapes.
People who have been listening.
Nice episode.
I believe this is episode 173 or 174 of the Neutral Zone. And I just think we should celebrate that. At this point, you finally contributed something of value.
Yeah. Something to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first time someone's
away
like,
from football a little bit. But
that's a good point by Phil.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. So. Bold predictions.
Okay.
What do you got?
I would say Derek Carr has struggled in Denver because the cold temperature. There's like some stat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Derek Carr below 40 degrees.
Exactly.
Bad.
So maybe they need to practice at nighttime
in
Napa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the
car
won't start. Yeah. I got a little bold prediction for you, Eric.
Okay.
The margin of victory will be 1 point.
Okay,
you want to hear my reasoning?
Sure.
The last three games in this rivalry played in Denver, the margin of victory, 1 point.
Okay, so you've got the Derek Carr to Hunter Renfro 2-point conversion last year that won the game.
That was good.
You've got the Shelby Harris bat down.
No good.
Broncos
one
win.
Point. And in 2018, I forget what led to it, but it was a 1-point game.
Got it.
So I'm going to say four games in a row.
Was that early in the season or late in the season?
Was 2018 the one where Simmons had the pick at the end?
No, that was 2017.
17. Yeah. I forgot how it happened. I was just looking at the scores, so that was my answer.
So you think something that's statistically improbable
three times,
is going to now happen
that's
for a
fourth
time. That's
why it's bold, Eric.
Okay.
That's why somebody commented last week that your bold prediction was not bold.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm bold.
That's fair.
Last week I said Albert O would catch a touchdown pass. And then
yeah, you did.
And then the very next day he hurt himself and went to IR. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what mine. I said both the running backs would run for over 60 yards. Did that happen? I don't think so. Probably not, right?
And Javonte then probably.
What was the other one? I think I said Vaughn strip sack. We had a Malik strip sack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, you had a force fumble.
Okay. An overarching. I think the Broncos score a touchdown on their first drive of the game.
What? That would be bold. That would be a little crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a little crazy. That could be nice.
Yeah, hasn't okay. happened
okay.
in a long time.
That's pretty good. And then let's see, do I need like an offensive one or something like that?
Well, one point isn't really offensive or defensive.
Let's call that just a defensive one. Offensive. Perfect. Offensive, let's say Tim Patrick will have 2 touchdowns in this game.
Wow. Yeah. Tim Patrick, I don't think he likes the Raiders, if I remember correctly.
He does not like the Raiders.
No.
I saw him last year. Toward the end of the season, he said, wait until we play the Raiders again. I got a little something. And then I think he got hurt in that game.
Because last year, I believe he got ejected in the first
one
matchup for punching somebody.
Yeah. Then he said, wait until you see what I got in store for the last game. He got injured, unfortunately, in that game. Had to leave early. So this time.
This is real.
Wait until you see 2 touchdowns for my guy.
You mean toe taps?
I don't call him that.
You don't?
I don't call him that.
Okay.
You know that that place on Nothing Bundt Cakes?
Yep.
He loves that place. Just a little
FYI. You're
coming
through with all the facts.
That's why.
I will say, I think Pat Surtain gets another pick.
It's like every week you just say something about him.
Pat Surtain shuts down Henry Ruggs.
Okay. Okay.
You like that?
Yeah. They know each other, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my bold prediction.
Okay. And then a score?
Oh, I'll say Broncos 24.
That's pretty good. That's what I was thinking.
Was it? I'll say Raiders 17.
17, okay. I'm going to say 24-23.
Yeah.
Broncos.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you remember that.
Yeah, thank you.
Because that would have been very unbranded.
Eric, let me just tell you something, how grim things were. Before the Gruden news, I was thinking about, okay, what's the – and I was going to say Raiders victory.
Wow.
But now, because of the Gruden, swing.
I think either way, I think people understand. The Raiders have lost 4 of the last 5 games in Denver.
Yeah.
And really, those early season matchups where they've mattered, the Broncos have held the advantage.
Taking care of business.
The one thing with Derek Carr, it's hard to blow them out because – he doesn't really make a lot of mistakes. He just
quick throws. He doesn't do a lot of
It's annoying to watch.
Yes,
I don't like it.
It's frustrating, especially
bombs.
For the pass rush. Yeah. Von Miller, hard to get him.
Yeah,
hard to get that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready for comments?
I think so.
Okay, that's why I got my phone. Yeah. Just so you know, today no voicemails, Eric. No voicemails. The voicemails way too negative, and like. I just, like, couldn't play him.
Okay.
I just couldn't play him. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
Yeah, I
trust you.
It was pretty aggressive.
Why did Ben Swanson even send those to you?
Well, he wasn't going to, and then I was like, send them. I was like, I can't do it.
Okay, perfect.
So, the one comment I wanted to get to, this is on YouTube from Joe Aragon.
Like the book?
Aragon?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Dragon book?
I was thinking Aragog. That's from Harry Potter.
Like the spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aragog.
Isn't Aragon also a Lord of the Rings guy?
It might be. I think that's the actor's name, isn't it?
No, I think that's a character's name.
Oh, I don't know.
It's kind of a weird.
Do you think I'm alienating some fans?
I don't know.
I hope not. I'm sorry. I don't mean any offense.
I would say there's probably a decent crossover between Lord of the Rings fan and people that would listen to us for a long time.
Yeah, that's true, especially at this point in the show.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe Aragon says, Pookie. That's
Javonte
Williams. Has been a beast. Feed him more and start playing out a shotgun more.
Oh.
Yes. What do you think about that?
I'm open to it. I mean, I think they've been playing in a shotgun a decent amount, but.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
I mean, I think that Javonte is going to get his opportunity here more and more just because I think you've got to kind of manage Melvin a little bit as he deals with this lower leg injury that seems like it's just kind of lingering. He was asked about it after the game, didn't say like, oh, it's almost better. He was just like, I'm managing it, I'm dealing with it. So I do think Javonte will get more and more carries. He's shown he deserves them. He's made back-to-back weeks with a very big play.
Yeah.
He's got to be a little bit more consistent, I think. Can't have these negative runs. But one of them wasn't.
Pass blocking, how do you think it? What do you think about it?
You know, I think the Broncos in general have not been great in that area, obviously.
Yeah.
Javonte, I think the issue is less about when he can get a body on someone. It's more, seemed like on that Teddy sack, maybe there's a mix-up in terms of whose responsibility it was. Yeah. Yep. So he'll continue to get better at that, I think. But they drafted him in the second round. They traded up to get him for a reason. He's going to continue to have a big role.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think the Broncos have a good problem at running back. They got two very competent running backs.
It sounds like Mike Boone's ready.
Close. Yeah. Hopefully be active.
Vic said he's ready.
Do you think that means active, though?
I don't know.
You could be ready, but
Yeah, inactive. Darby was ready, not active.
The lights are going out. That means it's, yeah, it's almost time.
Means turn.
What do you think
finish
happened?
Boys.
Finish this bad boy up. Yeah, what is going on with the lights? Sorry, we always have light problems here.
Yeah.
Eric, let's get to some shout-outs. Thank you, Joe, for the comment there.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
If you'd like to be a part of the show, 707-NEUTRAL, that's how you leave a voicemail, be a part of the show. Email
neutralzoneshow@gmail.com.
neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. Okay. Hit us up on Twitter at Eric Dalala with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH. That's different than of FIL.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the
most
traditional.
Most people spell it FIL.
That is the traditional spell.
But not you.
No. And it's like E R I C
H.
H is the traditional spelling. Yes. That's not how you spell it.
Not how I spell it.
So
kind of a weird
you
guy.
And me. Non-traditional spellings.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we were pretty clear about that.
Yes. So hit us up on Twitter. And if your comment is good, we'll read it on the... That hasn't really happened too much on Twitter.
No.
We need Twitter. And then, of course, if you want to be like Joe, leave a comment on YouTube.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Smash the subscribe button. And before we go, Eric, any shout-outs?
Yeah, I mean, shout-out to Christopher Lovejoy.
Yes, he came out to...
Breckenridge Brewery's Farmhouse in Littleton off Santa Fe. Brewery Lane. Yeah. Christopher came and said hello after the show. We got to do a better job with Ben Swanson because there were a couple people, I think, that wandered by. They wanted to say hello.
Yes.
They were a little bit shy.
Yes.
We need Ben Swanson. He's kind of a scary-looking figure. But, yeah, let's get the involvement going. But, Christopher, thank you for coming out.
Yeah, that was great.
Hope to see you again.
Scobuffs.
Christopher. Yeah, I mean, we can overlook those sorts of things.
Got it. Sorry.
Who else? Liz.
Geralds.
Blair Geralds. Very active. Blair.
Yes. Big fan of the Neutral
Zone. On the YouTube page. He thinks Patrick Suntan is going to play this weekend.
So do you.
That's right. I think Patrick Surtain is going to play.
Oh, got it. Are you Surtain about it?
I think so.
Suntan.
Yeah.
I was going to say, nice little community event I went to the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Miles for Miles. It was out at the Johnson Boys and Girls Club. The idea is that Miles comes out, the mascot.
Okay.
And with all the kids, they do a mile.
Okay.
And the idea is to promote.
Mile for Miles?
Oh, my gosh. The lights keep going off. What is happening? They run a mile, and the idea is to make sure you get your steps in. Promote an active and a healthy lifestyle. It's all part of the Play 60 umbrella.
Got it. Pretty miles nice. For Miles, which of those Miles is the mascot referring to? Because you could either be with the mascot Miles for Miles, or you could run Miles for Miles the mascot.
That's true.
Do we know?
Need to talk to Katie Schuster of the community department.
Thank you, Katie.
And she can clearly identify.
Perfect.
And then I'll shout out Mike Shanahan going into the Broncos Ring of Fame.
Yeah.
Probably the most sort of iconic coach, would you say, for the Broncos?
Yes.
I would say it's Mike Shanahan. Dan Reeves, probably close second.
Gary Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak, of course. Papa.
Correct.
Yeah. but yeah, Shanahan.
You're very close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I got to keep it together here before we wind down
the lights,
show.
Before the last light goes off.
Yes. But man, that's ridiculous. Shout out to Mike Shanahan. Got some great content coming up with Mike Shanahan.
I'm excited. Steve Atwater gets his Hall of Fame ring.
The Hall of Fame shared what it looks like.
I retweeted it.
It's very nice. Yeah, very cool little ring. So make sure you get to the game early.
2 o'clock, be in your seats.
That's when they're going to do the Steve Atwater stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to have Steve out there. Nobody's
Steve,
in the stands.
The Hoff.
He'd be sad. You don't want to make Steve
yes.
sad.
Yes, and he's obviously a dear friend.
Yes.
So those are our shout-outs.
Yeah.
If you're confused, like, hey, didn't Peyton Manning also go into the Hall of Fame? His stuff is going to be in the Washington game.
Well, he's getting his Ring of Fame, his Hall of Fame ring in Indianapolis, I believe. I think he already got it. He's going into the Broncos Ring of Fame against Washington.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Why did he do that in Indy? I don't understand.
Did he play there?
News to me. That's right. He's just doing Ring of Fame stuff here.
Yeah. Huh?
Maybe he can wear his Hall of Fame jacket, and then it'll be also Hall of Fame.
That could be nice.
You know, a lot of the guys, when they unveil their Ring of Fame bust, and then later on they have to do another unveil that reveals the Hall of Fame. He's just one.
Yep.
Like, for example, Steve, he'll unveil his on Friday and reveal the Hall of Fame logo.
Peyton, I think, is just the second.
Just one time.
Bronco to
Champ
do
Bailey.
That. Champ, of course.
Yeah. So that'll be the Washington game. That's why Tom Agnetti's coming out for the Washington game.
Yep.
It's very smart.
He's a smart guy.
Very smart. So, all right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Neutral Zone. We'll be back Monday at Breckenridge Brewery's farmhouse in Littleton off Santa Fe. Until then, for Eric Dallal, I'm Phil Milani. This has been
the Neutral Zone.